The Word of God is beautiful. The book of Psalms is a psalm book, a hymnal. And we're going to go to the book of Psalms right now. And we're going to start out with Psalm number 8. And it's a psalm written by David. And this psalm is a psalm of the splendor of God, the grace of God, the sovereignty of God, and the judgments of God. It's encompassing all of these three things. You know, we moved to Nevada here and we've got real good connection with the internet. We can look at television, Roku television, and things like that. And I travel around there a little bit and I see what people say. And people are really troubled right now. Our nation is in the same place it was in the Civil War, in all reality. We have a lot of people unhappy in this nation. And Christians are very unhappy with what is going on. You make right wrong and wrong right. You take people that are criminals and you make heroes out of them. Something wrong right now. Really bad. People are disgusted and they're hoping for like a giant miracle. That God will bring judgment down immediately and free us from this tyranny. Well, I don't know if he's going to do it or not. I know he can do it. I look back in the Psalms and I see that the people of God have always needed help by God. We needed the help of God. God is our helper. He is our answer to our prayers. I want you to understand this also, that God hears every one of you out there wherever you are. God may not always answer your prayers the way you want Him to. But He's there. He's a God of sovereignty. He's a God of great splendor. He's a God of grace. And He's a God of judgment. For thousands of years, God's people have depended on Him to bring about justice. I've preached several sermons where I've said that society owes justice to its people. A debt that society owes to its people is justice. People want justice. They want protection. You go all the way back in the time of Noah and God set down some rules in human government. He said a government is supposed to protect the people, good people, from the bad people. The criminals, those that commit crimes of high crimes, are to be punished capital, in other words, death penalty. This is the basis of human government. Now, any nation that does not do that is failing as a nation. And America today is failing greatly. It is propagating crime. It's bringing misery down upon the people. Some people think that this administration is trying to destroy the country to where you will have to do, you'll be in such bad shape that you'll just cry for help in any way. They read the book of Revelation, Ezekiel and Daniel and Joel and Micah and Nahum and different books that have prophecy in them, and they just beg for mercy and beg for judgment and beg for justice. Psalm 8. Now remember, this psalm was inspired of God. This psalm was written by David. And it is a song that they sang. It is a song that they sang in the Hebrew language. And I'm going to read it or sing it in the Hebrew language, but I'm going to read it to you. O Lord, our God, O Jehovah Elohim, our God, the God that possesses us and the God that we possess. Israel always looked upon God as a national, what we might call, form of gratuity, a national asset. And David here is looking upon God as a national asset. He said, O Lord, O Jehovah, our Elohim, our God, the God possessing us. That's in the genitive case there. The God that possesses us and that we possess Him. How majestic is thy name in all the earth. How majestic is thy name. God's name is splendors. It shows splendor. You look and let God just show to you the nature. Marilyn and I went up Saturday, up to the Cave Springs area, and we saw some splendid creations of God in nature itself, in the mountains and in the plants. And we saw bighorn sheep, quite a number of bighorn sheep, and one gigantic, majestic, splendid ram with a lot of girls following him around. He was gigantic. His horns were like that wide and just very large and went out a curl like that. Looked like a short Hereford bull. Majestically wandering along. Walking up cliffs that were nearly vertical, like he was standing on flat ground, and all the little ewes with him, and some babies. And I looked at that, and I say, oh God, how great is your creation that manifests your beauty, your splendor, your sovereignty, your love. God provides for them. I look outside, and in the bad weather, even here now, it's wintertime, early this year. And I see God protecting His little creatures. Every little bird. I leave bird feed out there and some feed for the hummingbird. And all of those things. I like to see animals. I saw four big mule deer out underneath our trees resting and sipping from the water from the drip lines this last summer. That was very beautiful. We came down out of the mountains and we saw two very large herds of mustangs and we saw two magnificent stallions. And if you look into the on the website on YouTube or discovertheword.com or sermon audio, would discover the word with Dr. Jim. You can see those stallions together. It was very dim, but you can see them out there. And the herds got pretty close together and ran the stallions together and rearing up and they sniff and snort and paw the air. Magnificence of the splendor that God gives these animals and the beauty that He gives to them to display to us. How majesty is thy name in all the earth, who has displayed your splendor. God displays His splendor when He touches an atheist soul and brings it to God. God displays His splendor and His grace and mercy and sovereignty when He reaches a young man or an old woman or an old man with the grace of God. You look up in the heavens at night on a clear night with the moon not shining so bright and you just see the skies just carpeted with stars. And you look up there and you say, that's the bottom end of heaven. How beautiful that is. how much more beautiful is it where heaven, where God abodes? If that's the bottom of heaven, what's the top look like? From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength. These are messianic prophecies that will be quoted in the four Gospels, by the way. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength. Because of your adversaries, to make the enemy and revengeful seats. Splendor, grace, sovereignty, and judgment. Splendor, grace, sovereignty, and judgment. God hates arrogance of the human race. The arrogance of the human race. You remember in Genesis, the 6th chapter, when everybody just did that which was wrong? They just, their hearts and minds and souls just bent toward evil. Then God brought judgment of the flood, didn't he? When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, these are messianic psalms. This is going to be quoted in the New Testament over and over and over again. When I consider your heavens, look up and see the bottom of heaven. I wonder how beautiful the top is. The work of your fingers. I walk into Sharon's house sometimes and I look at her paintings that she has done, and they're very beautiful. She's an artist. And all over this place here, we have Marilyn's paintings that she did with her fingers and with her eyes and with her mind. And I look here just beside me and I see my daughter Dakota's artwork. Great gifts of God. But God does things so much greater. Who can paint the sky here, this blue sky like it is? Who can arrange clouds like God does in the evening and the sunsets and the sunrises here? And the beautiful glory of the mountains. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained in your sovereign will, what is man that you take a thought of him? That you even think about him? What is man that you're mindful of him? Again, a messianic psalm. And the Son of Man, that you care for him, the Son of Man. Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. He's actually the Son of Woman in all reality. You look in the book of Enoch and it doesn't call Jesus the Son of Man, refer to him as Son of Man, but the Son of Woman, because he is of the messianic promise, the Son of Woman. And it's talking about Jesus Christ here. Jesus Christ came into this world to save you and me and every man that's ever been born upon the face of this earth. The price was paid in his life, his death, burial, and resurrection. The price has been paid. He died for our sin and was raised for our justification. Now, the Son of Man. This is talking about Jesus here. This is a messianic psalm. It's a song, all right. S-O-N-G. And a P-S-A-L-M also. But it is a song, and they sang this. And when they sang this song, they should have seen Jesus walking through the streets of Galilee and on the seashores of Galilee and through the streets of Jerusalem, because they had sung this song so many times, and yet they rejected him. The Son of Man, that you do care for him. Number 5. Yet you have made him a little lower than God. In the Septuagint here, it reads angels. But in the Hebrew, it says Elohim. You've made him a little lower. God became flesh, and he became lower than his former majesty, so that he could die on the cross of Calvary, so that he could suffer, and so that he could experience temptation, and so that he could redeem us. He could be our Goel, our kinsman redeemer. Genesis 3:15. A little lower than God. Why did he make him a little lower than God? A little lower than the angels, as the Septuagint says in the Old Testament. So that he could suffer death. Angels don't die. Michael the archangel didn't die on the cross of Calvary. Jesus, the Son of God, tasted death on the cross of Calvary. And you crowned him with glory and majesty. When Jesus rose from the grave, he was no longer the humble messianic king, but he came the king in the splendor of glory. And read the Revelation, the 19th chapter. Colossians, the first chapter. You do make him rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, also the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, and whatever passes through the paths of the sea. When Jesus was out on the seashore, or out on the Sea of Galilee in that great storm, his disciples were scared unto death. And they rose and woke him up, and he was so tired, he was wore out from preaching. He was frail. He was hungry, he was sleepy, he was tired. And he was just sleeping and letting nature rock him to sleep, because he owned that nature. And they said, Master, don't you know that we perish? Wake up, I want you to know that we perish. And he said, be still. Lay back down. And it was still. And that stillness frightened them. He didn't have to train that donkey that rode in on the day of glory when he rode into Jerusalem. That triumphant day that he rode in on Jerusalem. He didn't have to train that donkey. That donkey had never been ridden by anyone, but that donkey submitted to him because he's the master of all the oxen, all the sheep, all the donkeys, all the deer, all the wild rams, and the lions, and the lambs, and the hush, even the serpents. All the beasts of the field, the birds of heaven, the fish of the sea. And when he was out there in the sea, Peter had been out there fishing all day long, and Peter's occupation was a fisherman. And Jesus is a stonemason. I know people call him a carpenter, but he was a stonemason. Okay? That's what the Greek says. That's what the figures of speech say also. He's a stone that the builders rejected, etc., etc., etc. Thou art Peter, but upon this foundation stone I'll be building my church. And the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down or tear that stone house down. Peter said, you're all fitted together in the household of God. But Jesus Christ is that great cornerstone, that foundation stone of all of us, of that house of God. Birds of heaven, the fish of the sea. When Jesus was out there and Peter was out there fishing, he hadn't caught anything. If he caught anything, he said nothing. He said, throw your net on the other side, Peter. Peter looks at him and he said, I'm the fisherman. You're the stonemason. But whatever you say, Lord, I'm going to do it. So he threw his net on the other side. What difference would it be on the other side of the boat than on this side of the boat? Down in the water, it's only inches, feet apart. But he caught 153 great fish. Some people say it was 153 gigantic fish of different species. And it blew him away. And it was sinking the boat. And Peter looked at him. He said, oh, Master, How should I doubt you? O Lord, our Lord, O Jehovah, our Elohimu, how majestic is the name in all the earth. Yes, the name of God is majestic in all the earth. Jesus is the King of glory. In Revelation, the 19th chapter, it just fulfills what it said back there in Psalm number 8. And I saw heaven open, and I behold a white horse. And he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True, and Righteousness he judges and may wages war. David was calling for righteousness. He was calling for justice. He was calling for judgment. And now it shall be fulfilled. So many thousands of years later. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. And upon his head are many diadems. And he has a name written upon whom which no man knows except himself. We don't have to say the name Jehovah, but this is Jehovah, people. This is the Word of God. This is Jehovah. This is Hathavar. This is Hashem. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in white linen and clean, were following him on white horses. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword of judgment, so that whether he may smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads down the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty El Shaddai. This book of Revelation is full of Hebraism. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written. Adonai Ha'adonaim in the Hebrew language. King of kings and Lord of lords. And he outshined the sun. He'll outshine anything that have ever walked upon this earth. And when he establishes that 1,000-year reign upon this earth, it's only for 1,000 years, the Kelia Eter. But you'll see a lot of glory on this earth, a lot of things. The earth's going to change. It's going to be pure again. Then, after 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed. And Jesus will become the great victor of all time, and he'll put him away forever and ever and ever. And he'll rule and reign with us, over us, love us, cherish us. We're the pearl of great price. We're that treasure in the field. The pearl of great price. And where a man sold all that he had to gain the pearl of great price. And he sold everything that he had and bought the field that had the treasure in it. And you're the treasure. Isn't that wonderful? God treasures you. He loves you. He wants to be in your life. He wants to be part of your every day. Father, we thank you for your word. We send it out to honor and glorify you. Please use it to save souls, convict souls, to serve you and love you, and appreciate you in every way. In Jesus' name we pray.